Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 133 for February 24th, 2008. Coming up in a few minutes.
And to me, I thought it was poison. Just the whole taste of it. It was an old-fashioned drink. I could never see myself drinking it. And, you know, bring that forward 16 years now and love Scotch whiskey.
That's Ian McCallum, the senior blender at Morrison Bowmore. We heard from Ian a couple of episodes ago on his work with the new Black Bowmore. He's part of a new generation of whiskey makers coming into leadership roles, and we'll hear his story in a few minutes. First, though, let's look at the news. Last fall, I mentioned the debut of Ardmore as a single malt. Back then, it was just available in Europe and selected duty-free markets. Starting in March, it'll be available in the United States. Ardmore is located near Aberdeen in the Highlands and produces a moderately peated malt that's primarily used in Teacher's Blended Scotch. Until now, it's only been available through independent bottlers and is a limited release in 1999, but Beam Global plans to make it more widely available in the coming years. Sailing fans, pay attention. Entries are now being accepted for this year's Classic Malt Cruise along the west coast of Scotland. It's run by the World Cruising Club and starts in Oban on July 12th, goes to Skye for a stop at Talisker, then wraps up on Islay with events at Lagavulin on the 25th. Only 100 boats are allowed. If you're interested, there's a link at the WhiskeyCast website. The winners of the Drammy Awards have been announced. If you're not familiar with the Drammys, it's the creation of Scotch blog editor Kevin Erskine and is the only whiskey competition where winners are decided by popular vote. Bruichladdy was named Distiller and Bottler of the Year. That category combines distillers, blenders, and independent bottlers. For the rest of the winners, you can visit thedrammys.com. Former Whiskey Magazine editor Dominic Rosgrove has been busy. He's still writing for the magazine occasionally and doing consulting work, and his first book will be available later this spring. From Confused to Connoisseur is a beginner's guide to whiskeys from around the world, including Scotch, bourbons, and Irish whiskeys. It's available for pre-orders now through the WhiskeyCast store, powered by Amazon.com. Just click on the store link at WhiskeyCast.com. Time now for the calendar of events, brought to you by Laphroaig. We'll wrap up the month with a bunch of events. It's late notice, but this coming Tuesday night is the first kosher whiskey festival in New York City. Milroy's of Soho in London hosts a bourbon tasting with Julian and Preston Van Winkle Wednesday night. That kicks off the events heading into Whiskey Live London this coming weekend. Thursday night is the Whiskey Magazine Icons of Whiskey Awards, followed by Whiskey Live Friday and Saturday. This same weekend is the North Netherlands Whiskey Festival in Groningen, and the Swiss chapter of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society has whiskey dinners planned in Zurich, Basel, and Bern this week as well. March starts off with a Scotch tasting class with F. Paul Picoult at the Astor Center in New York City on the 3rd, a Spirits School class with Rare Scotches at New York's Brandy Library on the 4th, the Australian chapter of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society has a dinner in Melbourne on the 5th, a tasting in Adelaide on the 6th, and tastings in Brisbane and Sydney on the 7th. Whiskey Schiff is in Luzern, Switzerland, March 7th and 8th, and Malt Advocates John Hansel hosts a tasting of whiskeys from demolished distilleries at Monk's Cafe in Philadelphia on March 10th. You'll find links and a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website. And it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask. Become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay at Laphroaig.com. Many of the whiskey makers I've interviewed for WhiskeyCast have been veterans with decades of experience in the business, but there's a new generation moving now into leadership roles in the industry. Ian McCallum of Morrison Bowmore is an example. He's just 32 and is a senior blender after working his way up from a trainee as a teenager.
Basically, I was going to join the Royal Navy, but my father wouldn't sign my forms because I was only 16. And if you're under 18, you need your parental consent to join the Navy. I had done my work experience in the laboratory, and the position came up for a lab technician with Morrison Bowmore, and that's how I started.
So you don't have a family history in the whiskey business then, right?
None at all. First to work in the whiskey industry.
What drew you to it then?
Basically, it was a desire to leave school and join the Royal Navy. Didn't see the point of going to university for 3 years when I wanted to go to the Royal Naval College and study there. So basically I ended up with a job at Morrison's with the intention of being there a year, and on my 18th birthday signing for the Royal Navy, but enjoyed my career so much that I stayed with Morrison Bowmore.
How did you progress through the ranks to become a blender?
For the first 5 years when I was employed as a trainee chemist or lab technician, I also studied part time. So I worked for 3 days a week, went to university 2 days a week to get my education. When I got my education, I went to the distilleries and did distillery trainee management. And then in 2000, I came back to be a blender.
So I went up to the other place.
How hard was it to develop the skill as a blender?
Well, you get screened usually when you work in the whiskey industry anyway to see if you've got a good sense of smell so that you can work, because it's not just one person, it's a team of people that are there to nose the whiskies and things. So you get screened to see if you can take part in what we call the nosing panel, and fortunately I had a good sense of smell, and just, I suppose, natural progression, the laboratory to the distilleries and then the distilleries back to the QC side.
Tell me about your first experience with whiskey when you first got into the distillery.
Well, I think my first experience of whiskey was at 13 years old, which is not good for your health. But probably my first experience of whiskey professionally, I'd be about 17. And to me, I thought it was poison. Just the whole taste of it. It was an old-fashioned drink. Could never see myself drinking it. And, you know, bring that forward 16 years now and love Scotch whiskey.
I got to ask, tell me about the experience at 13.
That involved some pilfering from my mother and father's drinks cabinet, which resulted in me being violently ill and being incarcerated by my parents for about 6 months. I served hard time.
I think we've all had those experiences over time. What goes into making a good blending? Because obviously the whiskies you're working with are all single malts, but you're vatting those malts together from different casks to come up with a consistent blend. What's the secret to actually keeping it consistent from batch to batch?
I think probably the secret is to know what your target is. You need something very definitely to aim for. So once you have a target in mind, then you can, you know, it's maybe like building a house from Lego. There are different ways you can do it to achieve a similar look, and it's all about keeping the flavour within the original spectrum. So taking out certain malts and replacing maybe with two other malts, or
what's the difference in the variation in differences between different casks of Bowmore that were distilled at the same time, kept under the same conditions? How different can those casks wind up?
When he's good, it's great.
The spirit that will go in it at the start is always identical, but you can imagine that oak is an organic, it's a natural material. Even when the casks are prepared in the cooperage and they're charred on the inside, there's no way of getting the charring exactly the same depth on every barrel. So there are minor changes. Some barrels could hold 200 litres, some could hold 210 litres, just with the way they've been constructed. So you get slight differences there in the wood to spirit ratio, also the fill status of a cask. Is it a fresh fill or a first fill? So there are very many different things
And those differences really get magnified over time, right?
Definitely.
How hard is it to actually pull together the casks to make a vatting of, say, the Bowmore 16 that we tried tonight?
Again, it's very much a team effort. Nothing that we do in this industry is down to one person. You know, we have the people who create it at the distilleries, we have the QC teams, nosing panels, so all these people act together. So there's one unit to create and craft. We'll come up with the original concept, put it out to our panelists, and they'll review it and give you both positive and negative feedback on it. So it's very important that you can see all sides of the equation and not just sort of the final goal and be determined to get there. It's all part of a process with different people with inputs and views. So it really is one big team operation.
Give me an example of an experiment that didn't work, where you said, holy crap, what have we done this time?
I'm fortunate we've got a fantastic production director who's probably one of the most highly rated wood managers, and his understanding of woods and wood policy is pretty much second to none. So you're drawing on the experience of somebody who's been in the industry for 30 plus years, and also some of my colleagues sort of 25, 30 years plus. So it's all about sort of people coming through at different stages and that's why a team effort is so important, because you get all these different areas of input that you're maybe not an expert in, and you know, comes together as a team of experts, because you draw on each other's strengths, you know.
There's always a controversy when we're talking about whiskeys, whether it's the spirit that goes into the barrel that makes the whiskey, or whether it's the wood, or whether it's the conditions. What is it in your opinion, and what difference does wood make on the whiskey?
I think wood has a huge effect on whiskey. I personally believe that 60% of the flavor comes from the spirit, and 40% would come from the finishing effect of the wood. You have to be careful that you don't use casks that have maybe held something that will dominate the flavor of your whiskey. That's not what you try to achieve. Your whiskey, you know, it should still very definitely be Bowmore. It's just Bowmore that's been matured in a port cask. It's Bowmore in a bourbon cask, Bowmore in a sherry cask. It just has a slightly different polish on it, or a slightly different shirt on, if you like. You know, just a different look to it. But very definitely, it's the same thing underneath. It's very definitely Bowmore. You cannot, I don't think, if you have passion about whiskey, I think you cannot adulterate the flavour by giving it too many influences, and that has to be very carefully balanced. That, you know, certain things work with certain whiskies and certain things don't, and it's really drawing on people's experience to actually handcraft these perfect products.
And you've been doing this for a few years now. What do you want to do with your career?
That's quite interesting. I don't know. I'm entirely happy being a blender, and I love Bowmore and its brands, but I suppose it's like everything else in the future. You can't really look 5 to 10 years down the road with any great depth of vision. I am 32 years old at the moment, so, you know, 10 years' time is a long time in my lifespan, so I don't know. Hopefully, still in some function with Morrison Bowmore, because I truly believe that we get some of the finest whiskies in the world today.
What's the whiskey you're most proud of?
Personally, the whiskey I think most proud of is, you know, anyone that comes out of our cellars, because you always know it's going to be the highest quality available to the consumer, and that gives us pride that every time we know that we send out a bottle, hopefully the next time that bottle's opened, it's somebody with a smile on their face going to sit down and have good memories of Bowmore. So I think you have to be proud of everything you produce, rather than just focus on one individual product.
Okay, that's the politically correct answer. Now, which one is it that, if you had to pick out of all the whiskies you've worked with, which one do you pick as your favorite?
I wouldn't say that's the political answer. I think that's probably what you get from people in the production side of whiskey, where we do things for passion. You know, salespeople, and I'm not criticising salespeople in any way, can come and go. You know, 1 week you could be selling whiskey, the next week you could be selling vodka, the next week you could be selling something else completely, whereas production people in the distilleries, why do we still do it 16, 20, 30 years later? Because we're hugely passionate about each and every bottle that we put out. And to come back to what's my favourite, it depends on my mood, it depends on the food I'm eating, you know, so there are very many different things. Auchentoshan, fantastic in the summer. Bowmoor is probably more of an autumnal, wintry dram. And also different ways that you can experience it, you know, as part of a menu in a cocktail. So, you know, very much depends on my personal favourite at the moment is the 16-year-old port matured. Just works incredibly well for my palate. It's got smoke, it's got the fruitiness, it's got the depth of flavour, good mouthfeel, and it just shows that, you know, you can get really good whiskey at a very agreeable price.
That's all for this episode of Whiskey Cast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I'd love to hear from you. You'll find links for this and every episode, along with the calendar of events, the Whiskey Cast store, and a complete archive of past episodes at the Whiskey Cast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. Whiskey Cast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2008, and as always, comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.